Mark Lyons. I do the color commentary for BYU football on the radio.
Do you remember the first game that you helped call up in the booth, and what do you remember?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it was an away game. It was New Mexico, and BYU had won. Well, first of all, let's go into the part about Paul James. Paul and I was our first game together, and we'd done a couple of, talking here and there on the radio just to get an idea of how it works. But just before the game, he told me, "No, I'm not going to let you say anything until you have something worthwhile to say." And so I was, "Well, when will I know what's worthwhile?" And so it was pretty slow at the start, and Paul filled everything. But as the game went on, I felt as though we were in sync, had a good opportunity to work together, and from then on it was history. And now BYU had won, I think, 16 or 17 games in a row before they played this first game with New Mexico from the season before. And it turned out that BYU lost that game. And I thought, oh no, I'm the jinx. I'm the one that's caused the problem. But fortunately, they won all the rest of the games that season. So yeah, it was exciting. And interestingly enough, New Mexico was the first game that I played in as a player. And so it was kind of unique that it went that way.
Did you ever imagine yourself doing that kind of job, you know, being on the radio? Is that something you tried to get into?
Well, it wasn't my number one goal. I did do high school baseball games in the summer in the American Legion and had fun with it. Thought it would be a pretty cool thing. But just one night on the television, Paul James mentioned that Virgil Carter, who was doing the color before me and who was the quarterback before me at BYU, said he wasn't going to be back this next year. And I thought, man, that would be fun to do. And all they can do is say no. And so I went in and we did a voice test. And it was a couple of months, though, finally, when they let me know that I had the job. And boy, that was really exciting. And from then on, I've just enjoyed every minute of it.
And how many years?
This ends 38. So I started in 1980. One year I did television. There was just four or five games that they did, only the home games. One year I was out, there was an NCAA rule that said a high school football coach couldn't broadcast games of a college team if they did interviews with the coach. And so since we did that interview with Lavelle after each game, it turned out that I had to make a decision as to whether I was going to continue coaching or continue broadcasting. And so they gave me that two-year leeway to kind of figure things out. And I did then retire from coaching and stayed in the broadcast booth.
Do you feel it was a good decision?
Well, it was. I love coaching. That's the reason I like the broadcasting, is a chance to be part of the game. And so I still get an opportunity to see and recognize football and be able to talk about it. And it was getting harder and harder to do the fundraising and the high school sports and cleaning equipment every year. And parents were really good friends to me. And so, I don't know. At that point, it was hard finding assistance. There were a lot of things that were becoming challenging. The coaching part wasn't ever a problem. I loved the coaching, just the outside things that usually other people take care of for you.
Is there a specific moment where maybe everything broke down, it was kind of chaos, and you just had to get through it?
Oh, in football?
Yeah.
I mean, the broadcasting? The one that I thought was most interesting is we were, I think it was El Paso, and we were up in the booth, and John Donnell, the engineer, had all the equipment was taken apart and wires were off everywhere and there were batteries standing up, and we were pretty close to the time that we were supposed to be on the air. And John was feverishly putting things back together and trying to get it to go. And the thing that I was so impressed about is that we were right up to the second when somebody in our countdown says, "Go." And just then, Paul James said, "Good afternoon," and there was just no concern at all in his voice. It was like everything was perfect. There was no chaos, And I was really impressed. I would have started out, man, we're lucky to be on the air. And so instead, I thought Paul was very professional. That was great.
Now, were you there the game that he had his heart attack?
Yes, I was. Yeah, and that was also a concern. But what a story. So it was BYU Utah, at Utah, and Paul came up and said, man, I think I swallowed a hot dog wrong. I'm having a little trouble, you know, a feeling in my chest. And finally, one of our spotters called the paramedics, and they came and told him, you're having a heart attack. And he said, no, I think it's just indigestion. I took a nitro pill from my friend here, and everything feels fine. And the paramedic said, okay, nitro pills relieve pain from heart attack. You took a nitro pill and have relief from pain. You're having a heart attack. And so that was a concern. We were saying, Paul, you need to go, and we'll cover for it. And he said, no, I'm okay. I'll be all right. So he did the game. We got through everything, and he went to the hospital and had a 6 bypass, I think it was. And, yeah, I know. So every game's a little chaotic. You know, it is controlled chaos as things just happen and go on, and you try to adapt to what's going on. But that game was pretty unnerving with Paul having that concern.
As you look back, is there maybe a favorite moment or maybe many moments that you look back and say, man, I got to sit here and watch that?
Oh, yeah. Well, it doesn't take long, you know. So I go to the games and I enjoy 3 parts. I really like the strategy of football. I think there's more strategy in football than most every other game. I really like the skills of the players, and I like seeing the way that they're able to run and catch and throw the football. But I also really like the hard hits. And boy, oh boy, last year when Braden El-Bakri hit that, I think it was San Jose on a kickoff return, oh man, it was just over. It just everybody in the stands, ooh. And I was so glad that kid got up finally, because you could never talk about it again, you know, if he was really hurt. And so I talked to Braden about it. I says, man alive, that was such a hit. I'm so glad he got up. And he says, yeah, I am too, because he wanted to see the hit again, you know, too. He said, I hit him and went to wrap up, and he was already gone. I couldn't feel him to where he was. And I wondered what had happened. And I looked up, and there he was on the ground. So, boy, that was a hit. And so I am worried about the problems that we're having with the injuries and particularly the concussions. But I hope that we can play the game in a way that you can still be aggressive and be able to still survive it.
Is there a favorite bowl game or, you know, just a spectacular moment that you just thought, wow, I mean, how did that happen?
Well, the BYU-SMU, the Holiday Miracle Bowl, unfortunately, I wasn't at the game. I was watching it from home because Westwood had bought the rights to that game, and we weren't able to broadcast it. But in the chance to, kind of talk over what had occurred, and we saw the replays enough that was pretty good. It would have been fun to have been there. All of those games where you have the last play of the game, Beck to Harleen, of course, the Utah game, where it was a remarkable comeback. But there are many, many games in Lavelle Edwards Stadium or in the BYU-Utah game. So BYU played on a Thursday night game. I think it might have been their first. I don't recall if it was. And BYU was losing, and Brandon Doman came down the line, pitched it out to Luke Staley, and Luke Staley's down that east sideline going to the north end zone. And as he's running along, the stands just kind of stand up as they go along, and the place just erupts. And I thought, man, this is big time now. Here we are on Thursday night football, and the crowd goes wild, and Luke Staley runs it in for the score. And then just a little later, Gennaro Guilford intercepts the pass to ice the game. And, that was a pretty memorable night.
Big game Saturday. Utah's got a Pac-12 championship game they're thinking about. But from what I've heard from both coaches, all the players want to play. It's still a big deal. What do you think?
I think so. It's pretty interesting how the rivalry it's pretty much intact. I think that these players, you know, so many of them know each other. They've played around each other in the state. They're familiar with the rivalry. It's kind of interesting that some players that would have rather been at BYU or at Utah, and some that would have liked to have been at Utah or at BYU. So they have this connection that really does add to it, being just 50 miles apart. Each week, I think that everybody pays attention to how the other school is doing. And so there's some concern all year long about how's it going to work out. And I'm glad that they're playing it again. I think it's deserving to the fans to have this chance to have this rivalry game. I've thought often about some schools don't have a rival, and they just go through their season without this experience of having the excitement related to the game. But hopefully both teams play at their, you know, at a satisfactory level that they're happy with, and you end up doing the best job that you can, and there's not anything more that you can do than that. I do think it's odd that Utah seems to win more of the toss-up games than BYU does. When the games are pretty close in these last seven, BYU has had a better record than Utah in three of those games and have lost. And then Utah's had a better record in three of those games, and they've won their three. And then there were one year that they were pretty much a toss-up schedules as far as what their record was, and Utah won that one too. So Utah does a good job of winning those games that are in that area of we're an underdog or it's an even game. And then they also win the ones when they're supposed to win. So BYU, I think, is they do everything they can, but Utah seems to have a little extra edge.
Is there anything specific BYU needs to do maybe to try to change that this weekend?
Yeah. Well, they've got to get a better start than giving up 14 points in the first quarter. So, and, you know, it's just the bowl game. I think the last three games in a row they've started off just miserably. They've thrown interceptions. They've turned the ball over. They've given up scores for interceptions. So BYU just has to be better at the start of the game. The game ends up being close at all of those games near the end, but they have to be able to do better at the start. Now, they did do well as far as it was the last game when BYU got three turnovers, and one of them was an interception in the end zone to stop Utah from scoring. But they didn't ever get anything out of it in a positive way. So when they get those turnovers, they have to be able to put points on the board, take advantage of the advantages you've made.
As you say goodbye to the regular season, anything specifically you're going to miss sitting up there? It's nice and warm in the booth.
There's plenty of things. And I just love BYU. And I was so fortunate. Three of my old teammates came up this last weekend to kind of celebrate my last home broadcast, and it was really fun. And we just talked about, can you believe it? We played on that football field. We were college football players, and it was just remarkable to have had that opportunity and to have played football. And at BYU, I didn't know anything about BYU when I went there. I came from Denver and just wasn't familiar very much with it. And so BYU has done so much for me. It's ingrained in me. I really love the school. One of my teammates baptized me, and I met my wife there, and I have these lifelong friends. So I'll miss the association with BYU of being that they won't ever leave me, but just I enjoyed so much that I got a chance to go into that booth and broadcast and for BYU. And so I did hike to the Y yesterday just to kind of solidify my fanhood. So if you make it to the top of the Y, you're a fan of BYU. And so I was thinking that I'm just trying to think of the psychology of why I had to get that done this year, and I think it's related to I wanted to do something to prove that I'm a believer in BYU.
Next season, are we going to spot you sitting in the stands?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be a fan forever, sure. And I appreciate the chances. Man, that thing last Saturday where they put me out there at halftime, they let me run the alumni flag out. Oh, just a fantasy dream of mine. And so the halftime thing was, I had family and friends, and 46,000 people were all there, and it was pretty exciting, but I'll still be a part of all of that. In fact, the reason probably that's also in my mind, my daughter and son both said to me at different times, you know what, Dad? I've never sat next to you in a football game, in any football game. And I'll have a chance now to be able to do that.
All right. Anything else you want Cougar fans or maybe YouTube fans to know? They're all going to be listening.
Well, I do appreciate Utah. As BYU got better and Utah worked to keep up, they got better. And now Utah is in that position where they're better. And BYU has to understand that, man, that's a desire that we have to get to be as good as they are again. And so I appreciate that each of them use that competition to kind of build their level of skills. And I do think that it's a good rivalry. I hope that it is just that. I don't like all of some of the negative things that go on with it. But in fact, I just have in my mind on the Beck to Harleen. After the game, Eric Weddle and John Beck are walking kind of shoulder to shoulder around the field, and those two guys have just battled each other all game, and yet at the end of the game, they were able to compliment each other and kind of have this association, and they played hard. They'd done the best they could. That's just what I'm saying. Play hard, do the best you can, and then it becomes, yeah, well, we're both competing on this same sport, the greatest sport in the world.
It's always a great day for football.
Yeah, that's right. It is. It'll be a great day for football on Saturday, too.
Okay. Thank you.